This is Susan Erickson. I'm Susan Erickson, and Tim Luker and I are at the American Geophysical Union. We just had a wonderful session on Monday with about 15 geoscientists and artists talking about collaborative projects. Tim is a scientist and an artist, so he collaborates within himself. So, Tim, why don't you tell us about tell us about your coral reef mosaic project and how you got into art and science.
Okay, thank you, Susan. So, yes, my name is Tim Luker. I'm at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla. I work in the Keeling Group there. And my thesis advisor and first employer was Charles David Keeling, the creator of what's now known as the Keeling Curve. And the Keeling Curve is a record of the increasing concentrations of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that was begun in 1958 and continues to this day pretty much without interruption, although that's been quite a struggle over the years. And coincidentally, the record starts just about on the day I was born, so I'm almost a living relic of how long the Keeling Curve's been going. Now, since we're in approaching 2015, and we've also gone through the milestone of 400 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, and our leader, Ralph Keeling, who is Charles Keeling's son and is now heading the group at Scripps, gave a lecture at AGU yesterday about our work monitoring the CO2 and also oxygen concentrations in the atmosphere. So my work as far as the science has gone through various phases over the years, but early on it occurred to me that I thought that the general public needed to have someone sort of informing them about what we were learning, about what was happening in the atmosphere, and why it was going to be important to the future. That people understand that by just doing the things we've learned to do as a society, driving our cars and turning on the lights, heating our homes, was having this unforeseen impact that was going to cause huge changes in the way the planet operates and the way weather systems and the whole climate was going to change going in the future. Coincident with my work as a scientist at Scripps, I started more and more trying to just communicate with the general public about what's going on with climate change. And of course, we're all familiar now with Al Gore's film An Inconvenient Truth, and how as this whole problem has been publicized over the last 10 years, I suppose you could say, it's also unfortunately been politicized so that more and more people hear about climate change, but it almost seems that if you're a Democrat, you believe it's happening, and if you're a Republican, you might not. And I was just looked at a Gallup poll from early this year, and it showed that the number of people in America who believe that climate change is caused by humans, which seems obvious to just about all of, I would say, the 20,000 plus scientists at AGU, but as far as the general public, the percentage of people who believe that is down to 57% from a high of 61% in 2007. So
I even think we shouldn't use the word believe. People ask me as a scientist, the general public, you know, friends, do you believe in climate change? I said it's not a question of believing. It's a question of understanding, and I know. And I do think, I mean, I agree with you on all this, but I think we even need to take the word believe out of the equation.
I agree. I always joke that it's not like going to church. Science isn't something you believe in. Science is understanding the reality of what's going on.
So how did this these thoughts about public understanding drive you into this project?
Well, it was inadvertent in a way. I undertook a whole new sort of career at one point several years ago, and I discovered my inner artist, you could say, by building representations with stone and tile and glass, kind of mosaics. And I ever since, you know, and just appreciating the amazing nature that's all around us and geologic formations and different kinds of stone and everything. I just love working with beautiful samples of granite and marble and travertine that come from all over the world that are millions of years old. And to me, that was just a great sort of material to work with. At the same time, I found it was rather cathartic to smash things into pieces and then try to reassemble them again, just sort of like I've done in my career on occasion. Mm-hmm. So, and as I worked with mosaics more and more and got more and more involved in the art world, I was asked to go to schools and teach kids how to do mosaics. And so in the process of teaching how to do mosaics, I also started teaching about climate change and what's going on in the natural world. And so eventually I realized that ocean acidification is one of, I think, the most dramatic and scary consequences of rising CO2 in the atmosphere. So I started to teach children in schools and also educators about what's going on in the oceans as CO2 levels increase the ocean acidity, and it becomes more and more difficult for coral reef communities to survive. And that's what led to my coral reef mosaic project.
So where do you do this? You're in San Diego and you go to local schools?
Yeah, so initially it was schools in the area where I live. And then at AGU a few years ago, I met a professor from Hawaii, and I was asked to come to Hawaii and do workshops with the educators there. So, and I think it's learning in place is a great idea. And so I want to go to the communities where the young people are actually, they can see the coral reefs in their own backyard. And they would never guess that there's this insidious rising CO2 in the atmosphere that's going to make it almost impossible for the beautiful coral communities to continue to survive in their lifetime. So I think it's really important to go to the places where the people that are most affected by climate change live and try to and just introduce them to the idea of what's happening so they can become involved in, working to change things in their futures.
I think Cuba might be your next destination because it just opened up to us yesterday. And one of my oceanography friends just said to me last night that, their coral reefs have been preserved because they haven't had much tourism. So there's going to be a rapid change there. Maybe you need to go record that now before the developers
get in. So the whole place there should be a new reserve, a coral reef reserve all around Cuba. Yeah. Well, I've thought about the Caribbean as well. I do have a good friend who's a professor in Puerto Rico, in Mayaguez. Unfortunately, Puerto Rico is one of those places where the reefs are under a huge amount of pressure just from development and sedimenting of the reefs and different kinds of algae growing. So There are lots of places where my coral reef mosaic project would be it'd be a great thing to do. And so one of the reasons I came to AGU this year was to look for collaborators and ways to get people involved in my project. And of course, funding's always an issue with any kind of art science collaboration. But I'm meeting a lot of people here that seem very interested in the project, and so I hope that it'll be a good way to move forward.
So what kinds of partnerships do you want? Who would be your ideal partner?
Well, I think mostly educators and also, foundations that are interested in educating the general public on what's going on with changes in climate and the threats to various environments, especially in the ocean. And recently, the Schmidt Foundation gave a very generous award to the Keeling Group at Scripps to help continue the Keeling Curve. We've been under a severe funding pressures due to various things going on with the government agencies that have supported us in the past. So it's this kind of cooperation between private foundations and scientists like me that I think is maybe going to be the future to this kind of outreach programs.
Now, if I had a lot of money and you came to me and said, Susan, do you have money for me? How would I
know? I think I did that, right?
Yeah, you did that. You didn't get very far. But how would you, if I said, well, how do I know you're having any impact? How do you measure that? I think about it a lot.
Oh, well, yeah, and that's a very good question. I think about it, too. And And it's these projects are exhausting because you have the travel and then setting up and teaching and working with kids and working with instructors. But it's very rewarding. And the people that I work with, for instance, on the Big Island in 2013, I worked with this project. And just the educators were they were so excited. They were so interested, even in just going to the places where we take our samples and then learning the workshop for doing the mosaics was extremely popular with all the teachers, even though they weren't necessarily art teachers, they were science teachers and all kinds of general education, but they really enjoyed it. And I think there's no question that the combination of art and science together gets people, first of all, they're interested and they like doing the mosaic art, but then they learn about the impacts on their local communities and the environment. And so contacting them even a year and a half later, I got letters back from some of the teachers saying how much they enjoyed the workshops and how valuable it was. But it's hard to know, and there's so much information that's bombarding the public right now about what's going on with climate change and so many scientists, and yet there's so many counter messages out there that people can look at it and say, well, is this really a problem? Do we really have to worry about it? So I think just the fact that this kind of project happens and the effort that's put into training the teachers, they realize, okay, this is an important message that we're getting and
from a scientist. Too.
And yeah. So I think it does have an impact. It's yeah. But on a very personal level. So mm-hmm. obviously a lot of this needs to happen. And but I hope just to, by setting an example of the kind of things that we can do, maybe, and teaching other educators how to make mosaics and how to make a lasting example of not just how beautiful a coral reef is, but how important it is to try to save it. And that's sort of the reason behind my effort.
Well, I think you've got a lot of work ahead of you, and thank you for listening. You can find out more about Tim Luker and his Coral Reef Mosaic Project by visiting creativedisturbance.org.